Reverend Ted Pike. www.truthtellers.org. His name came up the other night. One of our callers brought it up. Donations have been forthcoming because, as you know, there are many, many issues before Congress. But the most important one right now happens to be the bait and switch techniques of Mr. Conyers in the United States Congress pertaining to the so-called hate crimes bill. So I thought you might want to know exactly what Ted has discovered as to what is going on behind the scenes. And indeed, the opposition to the bill now is growing. It's not just you and me and a few others. It's big, big time now. The ADL is not very happy. That's right. Linda, what's her name? Deborah Lichtstadt or Krapstadt or whatever her name is. People like her who wrote the book, what, Holocaust Denial or something? She's all upset. She's coming totally and completely unglued. She's really mad. And so is Abe Foxman. And the rest of them, they're really upset. They're angry because they know that Americans are beginning to catch on. The gig is up. The game is over. So coming on the line in just a moment or so to tell us about the latest strategy of the movers and shakers who control Congress is none other than Ted Pike. www.truthtellers.org. And I believe we might have him on the line right at the moment, do we? We do have Ted Pike just in time to say hello, and then we'll take a break. Hello, Ted Pike.
Yes, hello, Rick. Actually, I was on the line. I heard your introduction, but they didn't transfer me over. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. All right. So that was a little internal gesticulation, huh? All right. In any event, you are here, and we only have a few seconds before the break, so I'm just whetting the appetite of our listeners here to note that in a recent email you have put out concerning Representative Conyers, there is a movement afoot apparently now to switch bills and to resurrect this new bill on so-called hate speech legislation, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Conyers is going to fast forward it now. We've got to be just as fast.
All right. Well, people are, as I said, waking up to the threat that is threatening us in America today, and we aim to do something about it. We'll be right back. Ted Pike, stay. And we're back now with Ted Pike. And Ted Pike is our guest. And Ted, tell us a little bit about what's been going on here with this bill that we've been talking about.
Yes, we've been waiting very expectantly for the last 2.5 months to see what would happen in the House Judiciary Committee with H.R. 254, which was called the David Ray Hate Crimes Act. Prevention Act, that was introduced by Representative Sheila Jackson Lee around the 1st of January, and it's been pretty much sitting there, and meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee, all 40 members, have been taking a tremendous drubbing with literally millions of calls coming in from not only many people who come to truthtellers.org and listen to alternative talk radio, but also from the New Right. New Right organizations are beginning to mobilize. Janet Folger and the American Family Association and so on. So we have been wondering if the hate bill might just die in committee. But I think I mentioned on my probably the last program with you several weeks ago, I was in a conference call with the right-hand legislative analyst for Dr. James Dobson, Amanda mm-hmm. Banks, and she informed me that they, Focus on the Family, had intercepted a semi-secret Dear Colleague letter by Conyers to selected liberals in the House of Representatives,
mm-hmm.
basically saying that they were going to use H.R. 254 as a decoy to soak up all these millions of calls and all this idealism and energy out of the religious right until the religious right was kind of exhausted, and then they would bring in the same hate bill, the longer version, the 11-page stiffer, longer hate bill, which they really want most, I believe. They would bring that in, and then the strategy would be to shoot it through very quickly into the House of Representatives. And, of course, with the cooperation of Pelosi and a liberal House Rules Committee, in reality, they could move that forward instantly to the front of the docket and get a vote on it. And the strategy here, you see, is because H.R. 254, the David Ray bill, has got such an onerous smell about it now. It's very well known, very controversial, and so on. But the strategy is to bring in a new uncontaminated bill that doesn't have all those connotations. In fact, it's a bill that passed the House of Representatives overwhelmingly a year and a half ago. It has something like 60 co-sponsors and so on. A lot of prestigious Democrats and even some Republicans there. And so what Conyers wants to do is really to pull a fast one on the American people, even though the American people are literally roaring with disapproval against this legislation. ADL, Conyers, the Democrats are determined to have it. And so this is a time of tremendous a national emergency, really, because what hangs in the balance here is the question, are we going to allow our justice system in this United States to become like Canada's, a bias-oriented justice system in which hurt feelings and hurtful words and so on, subjective definitions of hate and hate crimes and bias become the rule of law in this United States, allowing the federal government to come down and break down states' rights and law enforcement, and literally to come down anytime they want to intervene in hate crimes trials. Actually, this new bill is even stiffer. It allows the federal government to come down. Even if there's no bias crime and no violent bias crime of any kind, they can come down just for felonies. They can come down for violent crimes of any kind. So basically, this is a massive takeover of states' rights in law enforcement, creating a uniformity of policing powers between the federal government and the local government. And, of course, when you have that kind of seamless chain of command between the federal and local and policing powers, that is the very definition of a police state.
And what have you been hearing from the, if anything, from the White House? They've been pretty quiet on this, haven't they?
Well, actually, they have made it. They have waffled around and made it, they have been asked very pointedly if the president will veto a hate bill if it's passed, and he has not given an answer either way.
Right.
During his first term, he did say that he would pass some kind of modified hate crimes legislation. So I don't think there's any hope of some kind of a last-minute veto by the president.
Not on that issue, which should be vetoed, but the other issues that should not be vetoed, such as cutting off funding for the war and eliminating the surge, the so-called troop surge. Those are the things which, of course, in obedience to the New World Order, he's most adamant about. But here's a classic example where he should be doing his job, and, of course, he wouldn't dare come out, you know, fourscore against it, and make it very clear that he intends to veto legislation, which is fundamentally flawed, well, as you have said so
that,
well.
That's right. You know, at the beginning of this conflict, a month or 6 weeks ago, there were quite a number of religious right leaders who were basically saying this bill is hopeless, it's going to pass, the Democrats have the votes, and so on. Uh-huh. Our only hope is to throw ourselves upon the mercies of the president. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, when I was talking with Amanda Banks, I urged her in the strongest language I could to pressure Dr. Dobson not to continue this point of view, which he had expressed previously. I should make that very clear. He had encouraged people to call their members of Congress. He certainly did that, but he said ultimately he thought we might have to avail ourselves of the president's veto. But I urged her to tell him that this is a time when we all have to stand together in one great push and not wait around until Conyers enters his bill and so on. We need to make a united push. And just a day earlier, American Family Association had come out with a strong e-alert, a crisis alert, and they got, actually, I understand, several million calls going in. And unfortunately, Dr. Dobson, I have no way of knowing whether I influenced him, but the next day he did basically sound the alarm against the hate bill, calling for calls to come in, especially to the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So I should also mention that there are others in the religious right now who are coming to truthtellers.org.
Mm-hmm.
I have the best information that one of the very largest New Right organizations, their staff has been studying the material at truthtellers.org. They actually, their spokesman sent me a message of gratitude for the hard work I've been doing. And yesterday I was on with Janet Folger. Janet Folger mm-hmm. is quite a prominent New Right strategist and activist, a red-hot talk show host. She had me on her program yesterday for a full hour and is linking her listeners to truthtellers.org.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually very, very actively going against the hate bill now. She had another program today, I understand, blasting the federal hate bill. And so she's a real bearcat of a talk show host, a fighter, a activist with a very high esteem among the evangelicals. And this was unprecedented for me to get on national radio with Janet Folger and speak to a national audience of evangelicals who are more and more being awakened to the danger of the hate bill. By the way, when I first sent out that e-alert about the hate bill,
mm-hmm.
Conyers had not given a bill number yet to the bill. And for the record, it is H.R. 1592.
1592.
Hmm. 1592. That's the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, H.R. 1592. It's now in the House Subcommittee on Crime, Terror, and Homeland Security. And it's up to the discretion of Conyers how fast that will go through. But technically speaking, since this bill did pass the House of Representatives a year and a half ago, overwhelmingly, the House rules allow a simple voice vote to approve it in the Subcommittee on Crime, a simple voice vote to approve it in the Judiciary, and then it can go forward to be put on the docket.
And then,
or it can go forward on the docket right to the first of the line if Pelosi wants to.
All right, and as far as the Senate is concerned, done deal?
No, the Senate, there are no hate bills in the Senate right now.
Mm-hmm.
We killed the worst of that one, Section 220 of the lobby reform bill in January. And that was a tremendous victory, a tremendous upheaval of mm-hmm. calls, again, from these New Right organizations mm-hmm. and the work I was doing and so on. That onerous legislation, which would have put crushing restrictions and reporting requirements on grassroots organizations, was killed. And not only that, but Pelosi has not reattached a similar bill as yet on the new lobby reform bill. However, as I think I mentioned in our last broadcast, Henry Waxman of California
mm-hmm.
has introduced into the House H.R. 984, which is called the Executive Branch Reform Act. And basically what that does is to kind of stand in for Section 220. This is more legislation by these Jewish activist members of Congress to silence the voice of the New Right and Christian conservative activism. And what this bill does, H.R. 984, is it requires all federal executive branch officials to report every conversation from a concerned American to them. And every quarter, that's every 3 months, they have to keep a list now to report to the government of every conversation which they have, even at the water cooler, a conversation in the bar after work, a conversation even with their spouse in bed. If their spouse says, honey, I think the government could work a little better this way, that has to be reported to the federal government. Her name has to be given the date and the exact contents of her recommendations about changing federal policy has to be given. And every quarter that has to be reported. A mountain of calls would have to be reported to the federal government. And all of these conversations would be published quarterly for all the world to see. Now, this is what Waxman believes is openness in government.
And who says they're not in the bedroom? Huh? All right. We'll be back with Ted Pike. Got a question, a comment? Get on the line now. Rick Adams, 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back with more with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, and Rick Adams. Ted Pike, our guest, and I'm Rick Adams, and we're talking about the emergency alert put out by truthtellers.org, Conyers introducing this new hate bill, and now, of course, we do have the number, H.R. 59. What was it again?
1592.
I've got so many notes in front of me, Ted, I have to organize a little better. H.R. 1592, and, of course, the original, the hate bill, H.R. 254, you feel was a decoy, essentially.
Well, I think it has become a decoy. I think the ADL has probably been quite amazed at the response from the far right and the religious right, and they were hoping to get this shorter bill through and at last triumph. They've been working at this since 1998, and I and other people have been influential in kind of leading the American people in their protest, and they're hoping to just squeeze it through with this smaller bill, which would give them basically two things: a bias-oriented justice system and federal control over states' rights in law enforcement. And now I believe that they're resuscitating the older bill, longer and stiffer bill, really, out of necessity.
Well, I see where in your email you actually came out and said the ADL announced yesterday the arrival of the bill in the House Judiciary. So you are essentially, you are saying they did announce it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
that's where I got it.
Make no mistake. Now, up until now, they've been relatively quiet on this, haven't they?
Yes, they really have. And you know, 5 years ago, they would have big press conferences at this time of year, and there would be people like Gordon Smith and Teddy Kennedy bleeding in the microphones for over Matt Shepard and Byrd, who was dragged behind a pickup and so on, and saying, never again can this ever happen, should this ever happen in America. Now the strategy of the ADL is to be just as quiet about the Pate bill as they possibly can, because you and I and a few others are making all the noise, you see.
Well, as you just said, Ted, in all honesty, your efforts have certainly encouraged others to finally wake up as to what's going on, and, you know, rather than curse the darkness, we light a candle, and we do say thank goodness that they are doing this, because up until now, they basically didn't have a clue as to what was going on. They never even heard of Michael McCarthage and his fellow Christians who were arrested and put in jail by the ADL attorney. They had no idea that this was going on, and if I told them that, they wouldn't believe me. They wouldn't believe it. They'd have to see the police record. They'd have to see the case. They'd say, you're making this up. You're lying. This is America. This is not Europe. This is not Israel. This is not the Soviet Union. No, it can't happen here. But now the proof is there. It's been well established. And unfortunately, see, they leave a paper trail now wherever they go.
Yes.
And they are becoming their own executioners on this piece of legislation, we hope.
Yeah, we're in a fight to the finish here. There's no doubt about it. You see, the power of ADL B'nai B'rith through the media, through government, the control of the president, through advisors, the neocons in the White House, through the military control in the Middle East, through finance, all this, the powers and resources now of international organized Jewry are very, very great and very compelling. And they're almost feeling that they can bowl through world dominance and dominion now, regardless of what anybody says, because they think they're so close to the finish line. The problem with evil people, when they get that arrogant, that confident, is they become overconfident and they become rash. They begin to do things which are almost a form of panic, last-minute, you know, dash for the goal line, that kind of thing. And that sets them up for criticism and gives people like myself and you and others a position of advantage over them. And, you know, speaking of the Philly 11 who were arrested several years ago, that happened the very weekend after we had defeated the ADL again in conference between the House and the Senate. And boy, were they mad. They were furious at the religious right. And there seems to have been a moment of irrationality there when Lynn Abraham, who is the National ADL's board executive member, she is the district attorney of Philadelphia, and with ADL approval, she decided to go after the Christians, making use of the state Pennsylvania ADL hate law. And the she was almost out of her mind in socking them with an arrest which would total 47 years in prison and $90,000 fines each. By the way, Janet Folger is in a campaign right now. She has two of these grandmothers out of the Philadelphia 11. She mm-hmm. has them on camera, and she's made these little infomercials that uh-huh. she wants to put on Fox Television. And I was talking to her yesterday, and she was requesting that maybe I could get some publicity for that and bring in some contributions. And I think this is a most worthy a place to put some contributions right now, because she wants to air these on Fox Television and dramatize what Conyers is doing now.
You know who owns Fox?
Yeah,
Rupert Murdoch. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a sneaking suspicion that Mr. Murdoch and his minions are not going to be happy about airing something like that.
Well, she'll put them on some other, put them in some other venue if she can't get them on Fox. But
we'll get them on RBN, that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
All right, stay where you are, Ted. We'll take calls when we come back. Ted Pike, right here with us tonight in this hour, and a little later too, maybe. Depends on your input. Get on the lines right now at 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're back. Hey. All right, we're back, Ted Pike. And what do you think, Ted? Do you think that with the Philadelphia 11 and what has transpired since then, and now the opposition growing to this bill, do you think that whatever their political maneuvering might be, we stand a decent chance this year of nailing it dead again?
Well, I'm very optimistic, really. I've never had such public awareness and support that's coming to defeat all this Orwellian legislation. I'll tell you something that I haven't divulged on the radio yet. The name of a man who has been very instrumental in working on the other side. He's the former deputy grassroots director and a writer for Alan Keyes' Renew America organization.
Mm-hmm,
And about 4 or 5 months ago, he came to Truth Tellers and was just electrified with what I had to say about the hate bill threat. And he's been working behind the scenes. His name is Guy Adams. I'm going to include him in my email.
Guy Adams. No relation.
Adams.
No relation.
And he knows all these new right leaders. He's been, actually, he was a bodyguard for Keyes. And is kind of a tough guy, but he's an intellectual and a writer and so on. Anyway, he has been working behind the scenes and mm-hmm. working closely with me. He has been responsible for alerting American Family Association several times about the hate bill, even as late as several days ago. Mm-hmm. And the American Family Association again came out with a big alert to their 3 million members just a day or two ago about what Conyers is doing. This is the work of Guy Adams working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very, very passionate Christian evangelical, but he's determined to save America in doing what he can. And he has a massive mailing list of the most influential evangelical conservatives in the country, something like 9,000. He repeatedly sends my materials to them and tells everybody to come to truthtellers.org. All these evangelical leaders are coming to truthtellers.org, including Janet Folger and so on. And there's a lot of truth now on the wide range, not only the hate bill issue, but the Middle East issue, Jewish control of the media and so on, now pouring into the right from truthtellers.org as Guy Adams is a liaison between myself and the religious right. And this is kind of what we are dreaming of course, is there's 25 million evangelicals out there who have been very misinformed about what their true duty, biblical duty to Israel is. And we're there at Truth Tellers to bring this truth to them at this very, very auspicious moment in history.
All right, Ted. Let's take a couple of calls here. 800-313-9443 is the number, and let me start with Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Rick and Reverend Ted. I've talked to both of you before on several occasions, as
yes,
you all know.
Obviously.
I'd ask the Reverend Pike that how much support have you got from Hagee and Robertson and Falwell and LaHaye and all these other people? The answer is you've got none.
Well, that's true. I did call Jerry Falwell's private secretary in January to alert her about the hate bill, and she said that Dr. Falwell would do something, but I don't know. I think maybe he got distracted by this big Support Israel conference in Washington.
Yes.
And I really think that may be true. Now, the LaHaye's and the Beverly LaHaye and the Concerned Women for America, they have come out with rather modest announcements, as has Dr. Dobson's organization, Focus on the Family. But it doesn't have the kind of fire and rhetoric which I wish I could get out of these organizations. And what we were counting and what Guy Adams is reporting to me is that many of these new right organizations fear loss of their tax exemption if they dwell too much on one legislative cause. And some of them are kind of backing off and not even putting up the phone numbers because that depletes their allowance of political time that they can devote to these issues and so on. So what is really the sign of the future, though, is the behavior of Janet Folger. She's a bearcat. She's right in the middle of all of these evangelicals. In fact, I think I may have mentioned on this program that I got a call from Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt in the last week. And he told me that he was in a private 30-member teleconference with Janet Folger, with Senator Sam Brownback, and around 30 New Right top leaders. And he said all they could talk about was the danger of the hate bill. And this is a result of many of these people coming to truthtellers.org and getting fired up, and the work of Guy Adams behind the scenes. There's something going on here. I am absolutely not criticized by anybody in the evangelical community today. You know, it's kind of paradoxical. I'm not criticized by the ADL, and I'm not criticized by the evangelicals. It's kind of like Moses going through the Red Sea. And it's a miracle that the truth of truth tellers is going out, and Janet Folger is right in the middle as a strategist, and she is linking her website and her radio program with truthtellers.org and sending people directly to truthtellers.org. This is a wonderful sign, and American Family Association is very responsive to our emails and so on. So this Hagee is a sad person. In my opinion, he's apostate. He is forbidding his people to mention the name of Jesus in the presence of Jews, which is denying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But the point I was trying to make is that Falwell was too busy climbing on his Israeli-furnished private jet to jet around the country wherever he goes.
Sure.
And as far as waiting for a call from Ralph Reed or what's his name, Gary Bauer? Is Bauer. I know his last name is Bauer.
Yes.
But you'll never hear from these people. You will get no help whatsoever from them. And these are the mainstream people. You know, you have no mainstream people, not one, except possibly this woman you're talking about.
Folger is mainstream. She has about 28 markets in her radio program, but she has a tremendous list of accomplishments and influence in the new right. And what I think it might happen is she's showing to the new right that Ted Pike is safe. You know, it's interesting. About a year ago, some of our young people, including Harmony Grant in my congregation.
Yes.
Harmony Grant, I have heard of. I've read her stuff.
Yeah, she's only 24 years old, but she's really sharp. And she's been a parishioner of mine since her childhood, since her infancy, really. And anyway, she and some of our other college students went to a debate between Janet Folger and some liberals at Reed College, which is an ultra-liberal campus here, Ivy League campus here in Oregon, and they heard her going after abortion. And they went up after the debate, and they got to know her a little bit. They congratulated her, and they told her they were from Truth Tellers, and they put her on our email list. And so Janet has been getting our emails for the last year, and she said very, very candidly that she's been reading all of our stuff for that time. And so here's an example of how that here's a mainstream Israel first Christian evangelical, but she's been subjected to these circumstances to access to my truth, and it's been working on her. And now she comes up boldly, has me on, and no, she's not going after the ADL like I am. She's going after the hate bill, but nevertheless, she's associating herself and linking over to truth tellers and realizing that she has a tremendous ally in what I'm doing.
All right. Jim, any final thoughts before we move along?
Yeah, I would say that most people out there don't realize that the whole purpose of the hate crime bill is who's next. Once they get the Christians like they did with the 11 in Philadelphia, or they get any other group, any group could be next. Just once they get the hate crime bill through, I mean, the sky is the limit on where they can go. It's up to the ADL to decide who's next.
That's the danger.
It's not up to Falwell or anybody like that. It's up to the ADL to decide who's next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim. You got the point. Very well. All right. Take another call right now, and I believe we have, let's see, Bob in Missouri. Hello.
Yes. You know, I don't think there's enough little commies out there to put their fingers in the dike for the onslaught that's going to be coming up here near in the future. You know, they've been hiding under the, it's like a little snake that's in your room. He's always hiding, but once he comes out there, you can step on his head. The ADL, ACLU, just speaking of those two groups, they're cohabiting with each other in the same hole. If you recall, the Arab whatever group was up there in the airport.
Oh yeah,
they went up there and made all these different gestures. They were going to do a, bombing in the airlines. The ACLU, a Jewish communist group, okay, was up there defending them. So I have a lot of reservations as to whether Israel really is at war with a lot of the Arab countries in the Middle East, because these groups, you know, who rules this country is the Jew communists. They're letting these people come in here and they're making them come in here as much as possible, Georgie and the Jews. Now, if they really hated them, they wouldn't have them coming in here. These are Marxist Bolsheviks, and they're trying to overthrow this country right now. So as to whether the Israel, the Khazars, are at war with the Middle East, I don't believe that at all. Now, what I want to know, instead of just why do they even put up with this stuff? I want to know who supports the ACLU and the ADL, where they came from, and they are the enemies of this country. You know, why are they allowed to even exist? The Congress shouldn't be worried about anything else. We're not worried about the Arabs or anything else. These are Marxist communists in your country that are destroying your country.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you even put up with this? Why would we even put up with this? These guys should be on trial right now on TV. All the little Bolsheviks that rule your TV right now, they should be put up there and tried and hung on that TV set. And if you don't do it, you're cowards. You deserve what you're going to get. And just talking about this stuff, you're always in the defensive. Oh, well, you go out and do this, you do that. Why not? Hey, these guys are your enemies, okay? The people voted down Republicans who were in the Congress last time. You know, now they got the damn Democrats in there, okay? This is going to go on forever. You see your enemy. The people know your enemy. You know what your enemy is. It's not communist China. It's not the Arabs. It's not Bin Laden or anything like that. It's these people who rule your TV set and rule your media. And until you do that, nothing's going to ever happen. This is going to go on forever.
All right, Ted. Ted, go ahead. Respond.
What we have here is the cumulative confusion and oppression caused by at least a century of a religious misconception, especially within the Western Christian churches in the Western industrialized world. It's true, as early as the 17th century, Manasseh ben Israel came into Cromwell's England, and he told Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell, who had beheaded, Charles I, he told him that God blesses those who bless Israel. And this idea took a fertile seed in Oliver Cromwell's mind, and he began to promote the idea that we have to bless the Jews in order to be blessed as a nation. But especially during the last century, this idea has been especially nurtured and cultivated by lecture series and programs and speakers bureaus and so on by the ADL, by the Jewish leadership and so on of B'nai B'rith, according to the evangelicals, encouraging the sympathy for Zionism and sympathy for Judaism and Jewish values in an unconditional way, so that America and evangelicals of the Western world are in favor of unconditional support of Israel, right or wrong. Now, you see, what we are in is the toils in the grip of deep, deep brainwashing and deep propaganda. And And yes, if justice were served, there are a lot of traitors in our government, from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
There are evil people distorting our minds and values through the media, the Jewish media, and all those kinds of things. But the battle we are waging is a little bit like a deprogrammer getting to the congregation of Reverend Moon or one of these cult leaders. You just can't walk up to the front gates of the compound and say, you know, Reverend so-and-so is a fraud, come out here and we'll deliver you, because he has worked on their minds so subtly for such a long time. Now, I have a friend by the name of Cal Brook. He's the head of the Spiritual Counterfeit Project down in the Berkeley. And he told me in his writings, he's very candid about this, that mm-hmm. during the 60s he went off to India and became the disciple of Sai Baba, who was a big Hindu miracle worker over there and so on, and had a big following, kind of like the Rajneesh up in Oregon and
right.
like that. Anyway, he was totally brainwashed by Sai Baba until one day Sai Baba made a homosexual pass at him. Okay, now something clicked there in Tal's mind that this man could not be a man of God if he had done something as gross and immoral as that. It took that shock. It was right at that point that there was a rupture in his conception of Sai Baba, and it widened until he finally was delivered out of that cult. Now, with that in mind, we look at the evangelicals in the 20th century as having all this love for the Jews, and they believe that the Jewish leaders reciprocate that love and love them back just as much as they love the Jews. But 2 years ago, the Jews, out of ADL, B'nai B'rith, and Lynn Abraham, and so on, they made this savage attack on the Christians. They took 11 evangelical Christians and threw them in jail for 21 hours, and threatening them with 47 years in prison and $90,000 fine, including two grandmothers and one 17-year-old girl. Now, that is the equivalent you see there of Sai Baba making a pass at Tal Brook. It's over the line. Even brainwashed as the evangelicals are, something clicks there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that happened, I knew that the Lord had given the ADL into my hands, because I had a position of advantage concerning the hate laws issue, concerning the love Israel issue, that no one had ever presented us with before. I got on the radio all that fall. I've been on the radio, interviewed more than 300 times since then, dramatizing to the church again and again and again. I'm kind of Reverend Pike, the minister of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I've been giving this enlightened propaganda that, no, there is something very wrong here with Israel, with Jewish leadership, very anti-Christian. They don't love you. They would like to persecute you. Look what they did in Philadelphia. You see, what we have here is an ideological warfare, a conceptual warfare. We can't just go out and get our pistols and pitchforks and march on Washington and throw the bums out. What we have to do is, by increments, like a cult deprogrammer, we have to get people and take them a stage at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so so important that we not resort to violence or obscenity or any vulgar tools of classical anti-Semitism, you know, the pogrom type of stuff. Instead, we have to keep this on a high level and continue to work. I'm especially working on the evangelicals, bringing them to a more enlightened and more biblical point of view about Israel. And as we do that, as I'm doing it, as I said just tonight on Janet Folger's program and other people in the New Light are listening, we will win, I believe.
Okay.
Can I make one more point after you get back here?
Sure. You hang on. We'll be right
okay.
back, and we'll take more calls for Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, Rick Adams. We're talking about the so-called hate bill, and we'll be right back to do that in 3 minutes. We're back now. Bob in Missouri. Bob, you wanted to just give a quick response
okay.
to what's been said so far. Go ahead. And
well, it's real easy. If you just read the Bible, you know what's going on. You know, these people pander the big religious leaders to the ignorant. You know, you just look at the, number one, these people in Israel that rule there, they're communists. They're called Khazars, okay? I have more Jewish blood in me, and I'm being Irish and German than they do, okay? They just said, if you do a program on the Khazars, Rick,
yeah.
that would help a lot, okay? You know what their state is.
Hmm.
And they're the ones that rule Israel right now.
Well, they don't just rule Israel. They rule the world.
They rule this country, too.
They
these
rule
are, these
the
are
world,
Mongols.
Yeah.
They're a mixture. They're a mixed race. And
they rule the United States and Europe, and they're trying to... see, these are the people that we would refer to, the so-called white Europeans that they have disdain for. If you will, the Israelites in Europe and the United States today, they are the ones that are reaping the whirlwind ever since World War One and Two.
Because
you know, in World War One, they tried to say that 6 million Jews had been killed.
Right.
And, you know, that didn't fly then. But after World War Two, they managed to, as Ted knows, they managed to stick with that figure. But it really began with a fellow that claimed 40 million Jews had been killed out of 60 million that died in World War II. And that was so ridiculous, they reduced it to 26, and then they reduced it to 12, and then finally to 6. And that's the magic number, 666, okay?
Yeah, can I say one thing, Rick? Their whole power, it came out of a story like about 2 weeks ago that Steven Spielberg got a picture by Norman Rockwell. There's a picture of Vladimir Lenin in front of a classroom, a bust of him teaching the kids, and that was he got this from as a matter of fact from St. Louis. That's his motto. He said our greatest weapon against the enemy is Hollywood, the movies. Vladimir Lenin said the greatest propaganda tool in history is the movies. Okay, it was a film at that time. That's their whole power. This just you can have one person back there that's totally brave. It's like the Wizard of Oz, okay? Once you look behind that curtain,
right,
there's one guy there, okay?
Bob, you know, we already know it. You said it good.
But it's got to stick. We got to act on that point.
Of course. But let's act intelligently, as Ted said, and let's not act foolishly or do anything that might reflect poorly on us. And I don't think that's something we need. There are certainly agents provocateur who would like to see that, and I'm sure you're aware of that as well, Ted Pike.
Yeah, yes. Historically, you see, the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah, these Jewish sources of literature and teaching are so vile and so anti-Christian and so anti-Gentile that they have always stirred up a tremendous revulsion and animosity and a backlash from the Gentiles. And they're designed to do that because Judaism needs anti-Semitism in order to keep the Jewish people together over the millennia. If everybody, if all the Jews were marrying Gentiles like half of them are doing in the United States I mean that's going to be worse than the so-called Holocaust for eventually destroying the Jewish people. So Judaism needs anti-Semitism, but the thing is we're not going to give it the traditional anti-Semitism. We're going to give the Bible. We're going to give biblical perspective. We're going to give truth in an enlightened way, in a way, at least under my leadership or my guidance, that the Jews have never experienced in history. We're going to show the broad perspective. That's why I have such respect for the Bible prophecies that someday Jesus himself will convert a remnant of Jews out of Israel, and he will settle his quarrel with the nation of Israel and have righteousness out of the Jewish people. That's why my message is basically benevolent toward the long-term perspective of God's plan for the Jews and his plan of the ages. And also, I protect the Jews from anti-Semitism stirred up by the ADL.
All right, very interesting. Can you stay, Ted?
I sure can.
All right, we get more calls. We'll get right back to that.